Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, amen, if you would turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 42. Amen. We're going to look at the book of Psalms. Amen. We realize that Psalms is not a chapter, but Psalms is a book. Amen. Amen. It's written in stanzas. A lot of Psalms, it was, amen, written to be accompanied by music. Amen. Amen. A lot of our Psalms were written by, amen, David. Amen. Amen. So, amen. Can you hear me well this morning? Can y'all hear me in the back? Amen. Somebody said you're a little too loud. Psalm 42. And we're going to look at 42 and 5. When you find it, say amen. If you're still looking, say wait a minute. All right. Y'all know what comes after that. Wait a minute. You are a candidate for Bible study on Wednesday night. Amen. We will help you find it quickly. As we turn the pages of our Bibles quite often in Bible study. Amen? Amen. The Lord changed my sermon as soon as I got in the house this morning. I sat down at Sunday school. That's why I had to walk out, because the God gave me a different thought. Amen. For the message this morning. Amen. So when he switches it up, you better roll with him. Amen. Psalm 42 and 5 reads as follows. Why art thou cast down? Is that what it says in your King James Bible? O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him again. For, amen, that's it. Amen, we'll stop right there. Amen. For I shall yet praise him again. Amen. Amen. Let's look in the New Living Translation of the Bible. Amen. We're going to read this same verse in the New Living Translation. Why am I discouraged? Why so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Amen. Thus ends the reading of God's word. Amen. You may be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Father God, for just all the many blessings that you placed in our lives, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us here together this morning. Lord God, if I'm too high, I ask that you would lower me. But Lord God, if I'm too low, I ask you to lift me up and place me on a plane of existence on which you would have me to speak on this day, Father God. If you don't speak, not a word will be spoken. Father God, if you don't move, we're just going to stand still. So, Lord God, we thank you this morning for the fact that we can confess our sins and you're faithful to forgive us. Lord God, we thank you that we just speak to things and you move those things out of our way. Father God, we thank you for Jesus Christ, most of all, who hung, bled, and died on that old rugged cross, Father God, that we may experience salvation. Father God, that we may live with you forever in heaven, Father God. We pray this morning for clear minds. We pray for just hearts that would understand, Lord, what you would have for us to know on this day. Father God, again, we give you praise. We give you glory. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that I do pray. Amen and thank God. Amen. Amen. Psalms 42 and 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope is in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Amen. Amen. In the New Living Translation, again, it says, why am I discouraged? And I like that word. Amen. I don't like that word, but we're going to really hone in on the word discouraged. Why so sad? I will put my hope in God, and I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I want to talk about this morning having victory over discouragement. Amen. Victory over discouragement. Amen. My brothers and sisters, if you and I were to be honest with ourselves and if we were to be honest with each other, there have been times in our lives where we have been totally discouraged. Amen. Amen. Where we had hopes and we had dreams. Amen. We had aspirations in life and somebody came and rained on our parade. Amen. Amen. We've been excited about what God is doing in our lives. We've been excited about what our children are doing. We've been excited about our job. But somebody came in and planted discouragement. Amen. Amen. Is anybody here? Do you like being discouraged? Do you like being around people that are discouraging? Amen. We want to be around people that are going to encourage us. Amen. Amen. To do our best, to be our best. Amen. To trust and believe in the Lord. Am I right about it? Amen. I'm preaching, but y'all ain't saying nothing this morning. Amen. But victory over discouragement. Amen. And we've all experienced discouragement. Amen. Have you ever stepped on the scales and, amen, you stepped on the scales and you looked down and you got a little bit discouraged? Amen. The doctor said you need to lose 20 pounds and you gained 4. Discouraged. Discouragement. Amen. Have you ever, amen, checked your bank account? Amen. You in trouble if you got to call and check it. But have you ever called and there was some disturbing news on the other end? And amen. Or you went to the ATM where you didn't have to pay for an inquiry just to see how much was in there. You didn't even have enough to take out. Amen. You had to take out in increments of 20 and you had $13. Oh, I'm the only person that's ever been there. Amen. Have you ever taken that test in school and, amen, you thought you done really good on it and then you get it back and it's red ink all over it? Discouraged. Every last one of us have been discouraged in some shape, form, or fashion. Are y'all going to pray with me? Now, my brothers and sisters, as we look at this particular psalm, we see that God's people are in exile. Amen. God's people are in bondage. God's people are under, amen, the rule of someone other than themselves. Are y'all going to pray with me? And when you are under, amen, control of somebody else, can't it get discouraging? Amen. You making minimum wage and they treating you like they paying you $100,000 a year. Amen. Don't care if you got a family. You know, you think you're going to be off and all of a sudden you got to go to work. And then it's mandatory overtime. Your boss is tripping. Amen. Your kids have a ball game and you promised them you will be there. When you're under somebody else's rule. And this is the children of Israel, God's people were in exile. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? I'm trying to help somebody. They were the descendants of Korah. They were under Babylonian captivity. And this is a psalm for, amen, some of the, I would say, backsliding Jews, because some of them were just so discouraged that they couldn't seem to find a praise. They couldn't find a reason to give God praise and give God glory. Amen. Isn't it sometimes hard to find when you're being totally discouraged? Amen. When you may not be feeling the best, when your health is playing tricks on you, your mind's playing tricks on you, you got all of these, your car won't work, it's real easy to get discouraged. Amen. But this is what's so awesome about this particular psalm. Amen. This particular psalm, amen, is a psalm that shows us that there is victory in the midst of discouragement. In the midst of whatever we might be going through, amen, there is a reason to praise. Amen? So God's people in exile, and what they're doing is they are remembering how things were. Hallelujah, this is good stuff. They're remembering how things were in their homeland, amen, back in Jerusalem during their worship experience. Amen. Have you ever been in church and things aren't going exactly the way that you feel like they ought to be going? And then you remember back. You remember back when I was young and everything was going and you could go to your neighbor's house and get a cup of sugar. Y'all talk about that stuff all the time. Y'all, amen. Amen. When you could take your car to a shop and trust them to do what needed to be done. Amen. I'm $3,000 in on a car and they ain't fixed nothing yet. Y'all think I'm playing. I'm real serious. Y'all pray for your pastor. Been a long time coming, but I know a change is going to come. That's very discouraging. But then I think about when the car used to run good. And I'm immediately encouraged because I think one day we can get back to where we need to get. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? So the question is, why am I discouraged? Why are we discouraged, amen, if our father, amen, owns a cattle on a thousand hills? Why are we worried about what the bank says? When he owns everything. When we were kids, we sang the song, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. But we act like he doesn't. Amen. We act like because things may not be going the way we want to go, it's the world has ended. We act like because we're going through trials and tribulations in our lives that we have no hope. But all of our hope is in him. Don't matter what anybody says. We have to realize who we are. Once we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, do you know that you are the righteousness of God? But Satan wants you to forget all about that. He wants you to forget that Christ already paid for it all. And this ain't even in my notes. This is free stuff. Amen. The reason why we get discouraged, my brothers and sisters, so many times, because Satan plants that in our heads. Oh, you messed up, you're going to hell. That ain't in the Bible. Y'all know who's going to hell? Y'all know the only people that's going to hell? Uh-oh, finna mess you up. This might be my last Sunday. The only people that are going to hell are the people that have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those are the only, and he's going to give people chance after chance. Once the church is gone, then they're going to go through the tribulation. Satan's going to be locked up for 1,000 years at one point. Why? So people can, men and women can get it right. Why they on this side of the dirt? Oh, why are we discouraged? Now, I'm going like Big Mama said, I'm going home on the morning train. I ain't trying to stay and go through all that other stuff. Amen. I want to be raptured up. Amen. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? If y'all say amen just a little bit longer, a little bit louder, I promise I'll finish. We talked about Job. We've been talking about Job in our Sunday school. Amen. And y'all, Job went through some very discouraging things in his life. He lost everything he had. The Bible says that Job was a righteous man. That he did everything according to the will of God, to the word of God. He did everything he was supposed to do. Let me tell y'all how cold Job was. Job not only gave a tithe for himself, but he also gave a tithe for his kids just in case they forgot. Isn't that awesome? Brother Ray, stand up. This is my daddy right here. Now what? This is his dad. Job was so cold, y'all. He was so righteous that he would give his money. And I ain't asking him. I ain't talking about it. But I'm just telling y'all how upright he was. And then we were supposed to give. Stand up. This is my little brother. We were supposed to be giving our money, amen, in the church. Are y'all right? So they would be meeting our house. Okay. But daddy was saying, he said, you know what? Them boys probably, they down there partying. They down there having a good time. So you know what? I'm just going to give for them. Isn't that a righteous man? Thank you. Sit down. Amen. Just so you can see it. Amen. But then there was a conversation in heaven between God and Satan. And Satan asked God, have you considered my servant? Well, first he was walking to and fro, seeking to whom he may devour. You know, y'all know Satan is looking for somebody. And let me say this. A lot of stuff y'all blaming the devil on, read your Bible. There are very few people that had direct encounters with Satan. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. What are you saying? Now, God is the only person that's omnipresent. He's the only person that can be in all places at one time. Satan don't have that kind of power. So some of this stuff you blaming on the devil. Now, one third of the angels were cast out of heaven. Some of those, that one third is already in damnation. They're already in hell fire. Hallelujah, somebody. But we don't know how many it was. Now, Satan is, he's the mouthpiece. He's giving, say, okay, y'all go over here and do this. Y'all go do this. Y'all go do, he's dispatching. But very few of us really deal with Satan one-on-one. All the devil's busy. Well, he ain't worried about you because self gonna get you. Whole lot of stuff that's going on in our lives. Come on, somebody. You giving the devil credit for it. He ain't even thinking about you. And when you do, he say, well, I take credit. Go on, give it to me. I need some more. Oh, the devil made, oh boy, the devil gonna make me put these hands on you. No, he ain't. That's what you want to do in yourself. Y'all self is something else, and we blaming this stuff on the devil. You know you. Devil made me cuss. No, you've been cussing since you was a little kid. Y'all crazy. I'm trying to preach. Victory over discouragement. I'm just trying to help somebody. Quit blaming the devil on stuff. Blaming stuff on the devil. That's you. Oh, the devil. Devil is busy. No, you busy. That ain't the devil. Thank you, sister. Hallelujah. See, that's what I'm talking about. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Now, we talk about Job. Look at this. Number one, write this down if you take notes. Write this down if you take notes. Trying to figure this thing out. Does that sound okay? Y'all good? Okay. All right. Don't give in to it. Discouragement. Don't give in to it. Tell your neighbor, don't give in to it. A lot of us give in to discouragement. Folks start talking bad about you, you start believing it. Y'all remember Five Heartbeats? How many of y'all watch Five Heartbeats? Raise your hand. What? Man, Eddie Kane was so happy when he went back and they had won that talent show. Y'all remember? And they got back and their daddy was sitting over there on that bench. Y'all remember? Hey, we won, we won. And Eddie was there smiling and daddy looked at him and said, you ain't going to be. I can't say that in church. Eddie Kane, his daddy said, you ain't going to be nothing because I ain't nothing. Immediately discouraged. And you know what happened with Eddie Kane? The brother got back on drugs, lost everything, ended up getting killed by the end of the movie. Did he? No. He got it right. That was another movie. I'm sorry. That was David Ruffin in The Temptations. That's my bad. I'm sorry. Same person. That was David Ruffin. I'm sorry. But Eddie Kane eventually got it right. But when his daddy discouraged him, amen, he bought into that discouragement. He said, well, if my daddy ain't nothing, I ain't going to be nothing. Some of y'all in here can do better, but, well, my daddy is a player, so I'm going to be a player. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his hat, when he died, all he left was alone. Just because my mama was a drunk don't mean I got to be a drunk. Hallelujah, somebody. Wait. I got Bible. I got book. I got Bible to back it up. Don't give in to it. James 4:7. If you got time to turn over there, turn over there. If not, just write it down and look at it later. The word says what? Resist the devil and he will do what? He'll flee from you. If you resist him. Oh, if you resist him. When those temptations, when those things come, you got to resist. Say, no, no, no. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Don't give in to it. Don't give in to it. Many people give into discouragement because they lack discipline and self-control. You see that? Discipline and self-control. We have to practice discipline. We have to go on a self-diet, tell ourselves no. You know, y'all know you in debt. You ain't got to have a new Michael Kors purse every 6 months. You know that man love you and he going to do everything he can to make you happy. But you put it, you know y'all broke. Got to put it on a credit card. You got 5 payday loans out in Paris and you're going to buy Michael Kors purse. Resist it. You want to get out of debt? You praying, Lord, I need a financial blessing, Lord. Open up the windows of heaven and pour me out a blessing that I won't have room enough to receive it. But you going to put a purse on credit. Ain't got no money to put in it. Hallelujah, somebody. Fellas, you're going to rent some rims. I mean, really? Your car worth $500, and resist the devil and he'll flee. I'm just keeping it real this morning. I want to go down there to them Africans, get me some braids. Girl, just put an S-curl on it or something. You don't need them $100 braids. You ain't got no money. I'm trying to help somebody this morning, D. I'm preaching, but they ain't saying nothing. We must exert our willpower when it comes to discouragement. Determination and faith bring God's power and help. It helps us win. Turn to James 1:12. If not, write it down. Blessed is the man that endureth what? Temptation. For when he is what? Tried, he shall receive what? The crown of life, which the Lord had what? Promise to them that love him. Hallelujah, church. Don't give in to it. Y'all, we give in to all kind of crazy stuff. It got quiet just then. I know you're thinking this morning. Every time they come around, hey, man, we finna go to, y'all don't have to go to Toco no more, do you? You got it right here at Walmart. You got to go to Toco to get the real stuff, right? Resist the devil and he'll flee. If that's your struggle, some of y'all know that's your struggle. It's not what, and let me tell you something. And I'm just going to be honest with you. The Bible tells, and we're getting this in our Bible study, but the Bible tells that the man of God, that the preacher, that the prophet should be sober. So that means we don't need to drink. Preacher don't need to be drinking. It says be sober. But these deacons, watch this. And y'all, man, them deacons drink. Well, it says them not to partake of too much. They can have a little bit. Ron, you can have a little nip, brother. That's in the book. Don't drink too much. Amen. Y'all can have a little party. Well, hey, it's all good. But it's not what goes in a man that defiles him, that's what come out. Now, wait a minute. Let me hold you up. If you can't a little bit and not be up on the communion table, then you need to leave it alone. Amen. You need to leave it alone if you can't act right. If what come out of you is not godly, then you need to leave it alone. Now, if you can have your little something, go on to bed, and get up in the morning, come to Sunday school, come on. Ooh, I can't believe he said that. Read your book. All these Sedentary Christians, all these, you got to do this. Got a rule book. That's why Jesus came. Oh, come to Bible study. Y'all said, you got to be right. You got to live right. Man, nobody could. That's why Jesus came. Mm-hmm. Come to Bible study. We'll fight about that. And I know I'm right. Don't give in to a discouragement. And then write this down. Don't give out with it. Okay, preacher, what are you saying? See, you got to keep on being positive about everything that's going on in your life. Amen? Does that make sense? Psalm 105:2 says, sing unto the Lord, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. See, God has done so much good for me, I ain't got time to think about the bad things that's going on in my life. Amen? He's been so good to me, I don't have time to deal with the negativity. The night my son had the wreck, flipped 7 times, ejected from the vehicle, 2 kids care flighted. My son was brought to Paris. You couldn't even tell what he looked like. Blood all over his face. I mean, it was a terrible night. I jumped up, put on my sweatsuit, ran to the emergency room. We were there all night long. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, I was at church. Because God's good to me. Amen? Amen? Let's do this. Don't give out with it. Let's see. Some people are negative. Their pessimistic thoughts and words bring discouragement to themselves and to others. Get away from negative people. You know, y'all have been around somebody just negative all the time. Man, they ain't gonna let, especially the job. You know how you know, man, you know the man, he ain't gonna let you do nothing. You know, we black, and they, you know, they don't, they trying to keep a brother down. Digger Smith can't believe I just said that. We talk like that. Oh my God, Obama's killing us. Oh God. What are we gonna do? We want our country back. Let me tell you something. God puts leaders in. God does that. Man, you need to never think that that little old vote you went up there got whoever in. God does that. That's God's work. The Bible teaches that. And there's a reasoning behind it all. And the Bible says, for we know all things work together for good for those who love the Lord or the called according to his purpose. So whoever the president is, whoever the mayor is, whoever the pastor is, some of y'all can't believe I'm here. Lord, how did we end up with that? God brought me. You didn't hire me. I ain't been hired yet. I have. When I went to Orange Chapel, I just went and they didn't make me leave. I showed up and that's whatever. I just stayed. I don't know. You know, you got to be sent. Some folks just went. But we got to be positive and look for the good and not the bad and talk optimistic daily. Amen. You know what? Your job would be better if you were more positive about it. You know what I say about my job? I've been on my job 15 years. And there's some guys that have been there a lot less time than me that have like, boom, they just jumped to the top. And man, for a minute, I was like, man, come on, God. I mean, really? Man, they just keep jumping over me, man. I mean, I'm good at what I do. And man, I got this mouthpiece. Man, I can talk to anybody from the outhouse to the White House. I can talk to anybody. I can talk from the hood, amen, to Stonebridge. I got skills. I know my stuff, man. Matter of fact, defense attorneys won't even go against me. I'm so cold in court. Y'all should see me when I'm in court. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I've had attorneys say, man, when they find out who the PO is going to show up, when I show up, they're like, oh, no. He filed on you? I just come in. I'll be ready, boy. I never lost a case. I do my homework. And you know what? I give everybody a chance. Amen? You can't make it with me. You can't make it. Oh, and I keep good records. Okay, we're going to leave that alone. Look at this. We got to stay away from negative people. And by being positive and optimistic, by doing this, we win over discouragement. And guess what? We win over others. Say, you know, y'all know someone says, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? Say, I said this. Here's my secret. When I want to cry, what I do? I take a look around, and I see that I'm getting by. And I do what? I hold on. Why? A change is coming. Simple. Because all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I trust and believe that, church. Rejoice. Philippians 4:4 says what? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I got to anyhow praise. I'm going to praise him no matter what. Amen. I'm going to praise him if the church is full. I'm going to praise if the church is empty. When I started at Orange Chapel, it was 5 members out there and 2 of them left. So we was down to 3. And I preached like it was a full house every Sunday. I'm going to rejoice and give God praise no matter what. Because I have victory over discouragement because the Bible tells me so. Woo! This is good stuff. Oh, this is good stuff, Brother Darrell. Well, I'm going to get y'all out of here for about 5 minutes. And look at this. Don't give in to it. Don't get out with it. But also, don't get down from it. Don't get down from discouragement. Okay, what does the Bible say about that? And then I'm done. Psalms 3:3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you have a shield? my glory, and the lifter of my head. See, when I don't have anything to be encouraged about, he's encouraging. His story is encouraging. This particular group of people, guys, because they were in captivity, amen, they would just walk around with their heads hung down. But then they remembered, amen, what the worship experience used to be like. And then they knew, amen, what the worship experience was going to be like once they came out of captivity. Are y'all going to pray with me? Have you ever gone through a very negative time in your life, and when God brought you out, you had that praise like never before? Oh, you have victory, and all you have to do is just reflect back when things were good, amen? And guess what? If they once were, they can be again. Ooh, somebody should have just shouted right there. When Christian is led to pray and believe God's word, that they are easy prey to discouragement. We must have faith in God, and we must ask him to lift us up and believe that he is able to keep us from falling. He is able to keep us from falling, not you, not your friends. But he is the one that's able to keep us. God, sometimes all I have is the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I'm going through some things I can't tell my little brother about. I can't tell my mom and dad about. I can't share it with Candy. Amen. Oh, but I can always share it with the Lord. And he is the lifter of my head. We must have faith in God, and we must ask him to lift us up and believe that he's able to keep us from falling. Jude the 24th verse says, now unto him that is able to keep what? You from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Isn't that awesome? To know that he is the one who is able to keep you from falling. How many of y'all keep on falling? Keep on making mistakes. Keep on tripping up. Keep on falling. But guess what? He's the one that can keep you from falling through Jesus Christ. Why? Because when God looks at you, let me tell you something. When God looks at you, he don't see. When he looks at you, he doesn't see what you see. Woo! John 3 and 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth on him is not condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. My brothers and sisters, it's all about believing. Amen. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us. Do y'all believe that? Wait a minute. If we confess our sins, did it say? It didn't say if we ask God for forgiveness, did it? Uh-oh. It says if we confess our sins. Pastor, what does that mean? That's why I can get excited. That's why I stay excited. See, confessing your sins means acknowledging what you did. If we confess our sins, look at this. If we tell God what we did, woo! Then he will forgive us. He's faithful and just to forgive us if we confess the sin. It didn't say if we ask him to forgive us for our sin, because forgiveness was already done on Calvary. Jesus already took care of that. Woo! Amen. See, we're praying the wrong prayer. Lord, forgive me for lying. Lord, forgive me for stealing. Lord, forgive me for adultery. Lord, forgive me for fornication. No. He said, if we confess our sin. So guess what? I got to go down and say, lied. Lord, I lied. He said, I got it. Lord, I stole something. He said, Jesus got that covered too. Confessing the sin. Lord, I committed adultery. Oh, yep, that's on there too. God, Jesus covered that one too. Ooh, it got quiet on that one, didn't it? I'm just talking about the stuff that people do. Lord, I got drunk and acted a fool. Oh, wait a minute. Drunk and acted a fool? Oh, no, I got that too. Why? Because you acknowledge it. If you confess the sin, brother. It's all about confessing. It's all about being open with him. We don't have to be discouraged if we let him take care of what needs to be taken care of. The reason why you can't move forward is because you walk around with all this guilt on you. You carrying all this stuff, and guess what? He nailed your stuff to the cross. He died for the whole world's sin. What? All those who accept him as Lord and Savior. All of our stuff. Guess what? He got this whole, everything these brothers ever did, he got it on, it's on the cross. He died for it. Oh, man. I'm going to have to dedicate a sermon just to that. I ain't got time today. Don't get down from it, my brothers and sisters. But then, don't give up through it. You got to keep on fighting through it. Are y'all going to pray with me? Matthew 10 and 22 says what? He that endureth, what? We got no Bible scholars in here? He that endureth to the end, what? Shall be saved. Self-centered people, self-centeredness makes people easy prey to Satan. A lack of love for God and others causes them to give up when discouragement strikes. We must be filled with God's love. Then we must reach out to help the needy and witness to the lost. We can win over discouragement if what? If we just keep on keeping on. Show y'all something before we close out of here. Amen. I realize this ain't no shouting sermon. If you want a shouting sermon, come this evening. We're going to turn cartwheels and do backflips this evening at 3 o'clock. Come here, Devin. Oh, that's all right. You going to come? Come on. Come on, Devin. Watch this. Stand right there. Come on, Daddy. Come on up here. Several years ago, there was a boxing match between Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis was 6'6". Evander Holyfield, 5'10". Heavyweight championship bout. Are y'all going to pray with me this morning? Brian Gumbel had an interview with Evander Holyfield. Said, Evander, during that boxing match, Lennox Lewis, who had the reach on you, watch this, look at this, look at this reach. Now, reach your hand out. Y'all know we used to do this when we were kids. He had you outreached by over 6 inches, Evander. And during the fight, he knocked you down a total of 3 times. Fall down, Evander. He just got knocked out. Knocked down. 1, 2, 3. Get up. 4, I count 10. 4, 5. They keep on watching the fight. He says, well, Evander, he just knocked you down 1 time. And here we are in the 5th round, and Evander, he hits you again, and Evander, you go back down again. 1, 2, 3. Evander, you get up for a 2nd time, but then we see again in the 9th round, Evander, that he knocks you down 1 more time. He said, now, Evander, what were you thinking after the 3rd knockdown? Evander said, I knew I had him because I had taken everything that he had. I didn't get discouraged because I got knocked down 3 times. As a matter of fact, it encouraged me because I had taken everything, every punch that he had, every move that he had. I've been watching him the whole time, and I knew where it was coming from. He said, and then, Evander, then it seems like the whole bout begins to turn around. And, Evander, you started turning it up, and you started putting hands on. You started beating him up and beating him down. And, Evander, before it was all over with, you win the fight. Let's give these guys a hand. What am I saying? Pastor McGuire, what are you saying? Some of us have been knocked down, and I know getting knocked down is very discouraging. Amen. I know, but see, Evander reflected back to the fact that he had won so many other fights. And when you're in this battle of life, my brothers and sisters, sometimes you're going to be knocked down. Amen. As a matter of fact, sometimes people are going to start counting you out. 1, 2, 3, 4. But see, there wasn't a knockdown rule. See, in this life, there's not a knockdown rule. You can get knocked down as many times as you get knocked down, but you can always get back up. through the power of Jesus Christ. Evander Holyfield took the best that Lennox Lewis had, and he won. Let me tell you something. We have taken the best punches that the enemy, that demonic forces, that this world, even ourselves, we've taken some mean punches. But guess what? Those of us who are in Christ, we keep getting back up. Amen. We have victory over discouragement. Amen. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. Let's give the Lord a great hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this is the greatest time to be alive. Some people say, I wish I was living back in the Bible days, and I don't. I wish I could have came through the Red Sea with the children of Israel. I don't. Matter of fact, I don't even represent that group of people. I'm a Gentile. So the only dispensation, the only, amen, covenant that we are under is the covenant of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. There's no salvation if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He hung, bled, and died on the cross. See, Jesus Christ was the perfect Savior. Amen. He was the propitiation that satisfied God. He was the ransom. You know, there had to be a sacrifice for man's sin, and that sacrifice was Jesus Christ, who was God the Son. Amen? And when he did that, he took care of that sin thing once and for all. Amen? Amen. So we can trust and believe what Christ did, but we have to accept him as our Lord and Savior. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today would be an awesome day for you to do so. If you don't know, if you question, if you say, well, I don't know, then guess what? Today will be a good day for you to give your life to him. It's that simple. Acknowledge that you are a sinner. Then acknowledge who Jesus Christ is, that he is, that you do trust and believe in him as your Savior. That his blood that was shed for the remission of your sins. He covers everything. Amen. When other things stop at your neighbor's house, they'll pass you over because you're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the event, hallelujah, that something happened to this body, the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. So even if something happens, amen, to this old body and we die, we still have a place in heaven.